Hello, hello.
Welcome to
Hello Podcast.
I love your hello, hello. It's my favorite thing.
I know. I'm always hello, helloing. I don't know where that came from, but it stuck.
Now we're just doing it.
I don't know.
Guys, Daisy, so cute.
Have we been doing this from the beginning? Have we just always
started it? I feel like you did start it.
Yeah.
It sounds way weirder in my accent. Hello, hello.
No, it doesn't. Oh, that is not what you sound like, you crazy
how
person.
Mark always says that I go way more Australian when I'm in America. I'm like, oh yeah, mate, you know, I'm an Aussie. And he's like, why do you do that? And I was like, I don't realize I'm doing it. It's obviously subconscious, and I just really lean so heavily into the accent.
I love it. I love your accent.
Do you know how much cashback you're leaving on the table settling for the wrong credit card? Imagine earning up to 5% cashback on your groceries for the next 30 years. Think of all that cashback on those overpriced kombuchas. NerdWallet helps everyone make smarter financial decisions today that future you will thank you for. With NerdWallet, you won't regret missing out on rewards. NerdWallet lets you compare smart cashback credit cards side by side to make the most of your everyday spending. So what could future you do with more cashback? Splurge on some fancy champagne with the gals, or order fine dining to the house and watch a good true crime doco? Whatever it is, make it happen with a smarter cashback credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet. Finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, guys, we're so excited today. We're having a, I mean, it's not Thanksgiving everywhere, right? So we're having a gratitude, Thanksgiving inspired, a holiday inspired episode, I guess, season of gratitude. Since this is going to come out on an American holiday. So, we just wanted to do a little gratitude episode. And,
yes.
I guess I can kind of start us off.
Oh, Sarah has an amazing story.
Yeah.
And so much to be grateful for. I think we're having little celebrations right now. But yeah, Sarah has been going through something that she didn't talk about last episode as she was waiting for the perfect time. And now we get to really dive into what that was. I can't wait to hear everything from your side and how you're feeling.
Well, I guess I'll start with last solo episode that we did. I talked a little bit about something that I was, going through, and somebody that I was, friends with kind of mentioned something to me about it and like kind of saw where I was at. And anyway, all of that was me sort of skirting around it because I just wanted to like have a little bit more information first. But basically a few weeks ago, back when I turned 40, my OBGYN was like, hey, you're 40. It's time for you to get your first mammogram. And so I was like, oh, gosh, there's been like so many times over the years where I've been like, so when do you get a mammogram? And they're like, oh, you're way too young for that. And now I'm at the place where they're like, oh, it's time. And I'm like, okay.
I've crossed the threshold.
Okay. I've crossed the threshold of you need to go do that. So I guess it's like, you know, if you guys that listen know that I'm pretty proactive with my health anyway. And I always go get my physicals done and I'm like eat healthy and work out and all that stuff. So I was like, oh, great. I just got like a big physical. So adding mammograms to the list is going to be great. I know, you know, I have had an MRI recently. Like I know I'm good. So I go and get the mammogram. And I leave there and they're like, oh, just so you know, like you'll hear from us on, it's like a Monday. They're like, you'll hear from us on Friday. By any chance you hear from us in the first like 24 to 48 hours, it means like that we've seen something and we need to like get in touch with you, right? And so I was like, oh, okay, great. I'll hear from you Friday. Like exactly 24 hours later, I get a phone call from them. And I missed it. And then I got a text message immediately that's like, we need to have you back in ASAP and call this number. So I called the number and the woman's like, Sarah. Oh, yes. They're like, they see something on your mammogram. And so we need to have you back in. And I was like, great. Can I come in right now? And she's like, oh, no. You have to go. You have to go back to your doctor and get like a referral and then you can come back in. And I'm like, what? Okay. That feels like that's going to be a long time. Okay. Well, can you like put me down for a holding spot or something? And she was like, no, the referral has to come in first and then we can book your appointment. And I was like, okay. So then I like try to get in touch with my doctor that whole day, finally get in touch with him in the evening. And he's like, yeah, it's pretty common. Like, you know, they can't see one side. You have calcification in your right side, but you have calcification in your left side. So they just want to do like a closer look because that side is sort of like undetermined. We don't know. Mm. And I was like, okay. And he's like, it's really common. Totally fine. I was like, okay, great. Didn't feel scared about it. I was like, fine, that's great. So I call the next day to go to get my appointment now that I have the referral. And they're like, the earliest they have is 3 weeks away. I was like, oh, seriously? Oh,
God, no.
So I was like, yeah. So I was like, okay, fine. I'll wait, you know, to go on the 3 weeks. So then I finally go back in for the 3 weeks. That was like, I guess, a week at this point. Well, I guess it doesn't really matter. So it was like a week ago for when we are now. And or 2 weeks. So anyway, I go back in and they do this closer look. And the person who's doing the mammogram, she's kind of like looking at it really closely. And then she's sort of like typing on her screen. And I was like, is everything okay? And she's like, yeah, I'm just communicating with the doctor that, you know, they have a doctor there in the office. And so I was like, okay. And then she's like, I need to take a few more photos. And then she like does it again. And then I'm just sitting there. Like for anybody who's ever had a mammogram, you know what happens, right? Like they smush your boob into like this almost like flat pancake. You're like pressed against the machine. And I'm sitting there with no shirt on, no bra on, just like waiting for her to tell me like, okay, we're good. We got it. She's still like typing away. And I'm just like kind of covering up my boobs because I'm like, I'm not really feeling modest, but I'm like, it's a little weird, the whole thing.
It's vulnerable.
And
this
then
is vulnerable.
She looks at me. Oh, it's so vulnerable. And, you know, when they are putting your boob in the mammogram machine, they're like, they're moving it themselves, right? So she's like pushing it into there. And I don't have very much boob at all. So it's a lot of work to get enough to like take a picture of. So she kind of looks at me and she's like, yeah. Okay. So I just heard from the doctor and she needs to talk to you. And I was like, right now? And she was like, yeah, right now. And I was like, oh, okay. So then she's like, I'm going to bring you over to this other room. So she brings me into this room, this like waiting room where it's just me, just like two chairs and me. And like immediately text Eric and I'm like, they have me waiting in a room because the doctor needs to talk to me after seeing my results. And he's just like, wait, what? And I was like, yeah, because like everybody was like, it's okay. It's routine. It's like normal. They need to get second looks. Like usually it's like dense breast tissue. She walks in. She has a pamphlet in her hand. And I was like, oh, no, she has a pamphlet in her hand. This is like the scene in every like movie where the person finds something out, right? So they like come in with a pamphlet handed to you to explain like, this is what you have, right? So I'm like, this is so crazy. So she walks in and she's like, so we need to do a biopsy. And I was like, what? Okay, what do you mean? And she was like, well, it's we need to do a stereotactic biopsy is what it was called. And she was like, the calcification in your left breast, we just need to get samples of it. And I was like, okay, how does that work? And she was like, well, we don't have the machine here, so you have to call and make an appointment to do it. And so I was like, okay. What happens if this ends up that I, what's the worst case scenario here? And she's like, oh, well, you know, we don't have to go to that step. And I was like, well, I kind of want to know what, like, if something does come back positive, like, what is it? And so then she explained to me what it was, which is like a whole name. Basically, it'd be stage zero cancer, right? But there's like surgery involved. And so I was like, okay, I'll go and let's schedule this. Like, let's go get it done. I wanted to get it done like tomorrow, right? So I call my doctor, and my doctor, like, I can't get in touch with him until later on that night. And I tried calling to get an appointment, and they didn't have an appointment for like over a month. And I'm like, I have to live with this for over a month. I have to think about this every day for over a month. And so Eric called them back and was like, you know, if there's any chance that somebody cancels, can we be on like a waiting list of like cancellations? And the woman was like, yes, we can put you on a cancellation list. And I was like, great. She's like, how far do you live from the location? And I was like, I live like 20 minutes away, I guess. And so she was like, okay, because we could call you like in the morning and say, we need you to be here in an hour. And I was like, okay. And so basically that was a Monday. And so then Tuesday comes, Wednesday comes, and, you know, we're calling my doctor, we're calling other locations, we're trying to figure out like, you know, what does this mean? Like, I definitely started to go down the bigger feeling of like, wait, am I going to end up having to have like some sort of a surgery? And then Eric and I were sort of just like looking at each other, like, is this really happening right now? And it was just a lot. And, we get to Thursday. My kids have the biggest school performances of the entire year on Friday. It's in the morning and in the evening. And Thursday night, we get a call. We can get you in tomorrow at 10 a.m. And I was like, oh my gosh, okay. So I'm going to go to the kids' performance in the morning. I'm not, obviously not going to tell them what's happening exactly, just that I have to leave and go to a doctor's appointment early. And so I leave, I go to this appointment. Somebody has to take me, like, you can't have food. Like, you have to, you know, it's like a pretty intense thing. Right. So then Sonia ends up taking me because Eric has the kids and he stays for the performance. And then I go to do the biopsy.
Do you know how much cashback you're leaving on the table settling for the wrong credit card? Imagine earning up to 5% cashback on your groceries for the next 30 years. Think of all that cashback on those overpriced kombuchas. NerdWallet helps everyone make smarter financial decisions today that future you will thank you for. With NerdWallet, you won't regret missing out on rewards. NerdWallet lets you compare smart cashback credit cards side by side to make the most of your everyday spending. So what could future you do with more cashback? Splurge on some fancy champagne with the gals, or order fine dining to the house and watch a good true crime doco? Whatever it is, make it happen with a smarter cashback credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet. Finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. So as your kids get older, some things about parenting gets easier, right? So we're not up in the middle of the night a million times, potentially, and they can start cleaning up after themselves. They can do some vacuuming and they can help out around the house. Okay, so then other things don't, like having conversations about money. Well, the fact is kids won't really know how to manage their money until they're actually in charge of it. And that is where Greenlight can help.
With the Greenlight app, kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely thanks to games that teach money skills in a fun, accessible way. The Greenlight app also includes a chores feature where you can set up one-time or reoccurring chores customized to your family's needs, and then you reward kids with an allowance for a job well done. I was thinking about this and I was like, oh, I remember being a child and my chore was I had to unload the dishwasher every day. Did I get pocket money, Sarah? No, I did not. Things are different these days. And millions of people and kids are learning about money on Greenlight. It is the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate life together.
I feel like that knowledge is so empowering, and being able to give them this access is just going to make them feel so good when they go to purchase something or donate to a charity or whatever it is. So sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/motherdays. That's greenlight.com/motherdays to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/motherdays.
Can you talk us through the biopsy? Because I think a lot of people hear the word biopsy, but they don't actually understand what that entails.
Well, I think it depends on the type of biopsy that you get. So I had something called a stereotactic biopsy, and it's a machine that's like a mammogram machine, and it's a guided needle. So your breast goes into the mammogram machine to the plates that like smush it down, same way that it does for a mammogram. But you're in like a chair that's pressed up against it. And there's like a hole cut out into some part of it, the machine where you're, you know, where they need to go in with the needle. And they use lidocaine and they numb you. And then they position this like needle, and then they take a bunch of like pictures, and then they have, you know, the needle go in and collect like 9 samples of tissue.
And can you feel anything at all with the lidocaine?
Yeah, like you feel, I guess you, it doesn't hurt. It feels like a really intense pressure, but I have to say, I didn't have any idea what to expect. I was pretty scared. I think I had been putting on like a brave face until I got in there. And then all of a sudden I was like kind of shaking inside, just like, wait, this feels really intense. And then the nurse was so nice and she held my hand through the whole thing. And like my hand was in my lap and she kept like putting her hand under the table into my lap and like holding and squeezing my hand. And cause she, I think she could just tell. And I couldn't look at the needle. I couldn't look at the machine. I was like looking as far off to the right as I possibly could and was just like taking deep breaths and trying to like go somewhere else in my mind. You know, and they were so great. They were so loving and wonderful and helpful and like walked me through the whole thing. But it was intense. So the needle comes down into the breast, collecting the tissue. It kind of goes up and down, but you just feel this like deeper pressure that feels just weird. It's like, as all, I don't know how to explain it. It just, you can feel something really inside, but not painful while it's happening, just like intense. And I think I went into some sort of like a shock because afterwards I was like shaking and I was just woozy. And I was so glad that they told me to have somebody to come and drive you home, because afterwards I walked out, walked into the waiting room area where all the women that were like waiting to go in were. Oh, and I walked out and smiled at Sonia and I was like, okay. And like we walked through the waiting room area and the door shut in front of the elevator and I just burst into tears. I was fully crying. Like, oh my God. That's like that. was so crazy. It was just a lot. And I have to say, for anybody that ever would have to get that done, it is not painful. I just didn't, it all kind of, I thought like it wasn't happening for a month, and then all of a sudden it happened. And then I was like kind of in shock, and the whole thing just was like, I wasn't ready, prepared mentally for it. So it just felt intense, like a lot. So I went home that day, like iced it, laid in bed, slept for 3 hours, went to my kids' performance that night, you know, kind of tried to explain a little bit of why I was not able to nurse or like, you know, any of those things. And then had to wait until Tuesday to.
We were all on a text thread. We were waiting. We were waiting. There was a little group of us, me and Sarah, Beati and Nikki, and we were just like on this thread. All right, Sarah, we've got it in our calendars. Like the moment you get news, drop it here. And we were all feeling really positive.
Yes. And I did too. I felt like it's going to be fine. But like, I don't know, when something like that happens, like doubt creeps in. And Eric and I went to lunch on Monday beforehand, just the two of us. And we were like, when these things happen, it makes you want to like simplify life and like cuddle and stay home and be cozy. And like, I don't know. It's just, it does. It's a nice perspective to have of just being like, I said to Eric, like, I always live in this place of gratitude. I really do, where I think about every day the things that I'm grateful for, and just like, it fills me with joy to live like that. But, you know, when something like this happened, I was looking at my kids like, oh man, like I really love this life. I want to be here, you know?
Of course.
Like I want to be here. And I have friends who had diagnosis really early in their 30s and didn't make it, of not breast cancer, but other things. And so, you know, I just like remember looking at them and thinking like, I know they want to be here, like for their babies. And it breaks my heart that that's not going to happen, you know? And so anyway, I just was like, having all these big feelings. And at the same time, deep down, I really did feel like everything was going to be fine. But it does make you think of all the other things, right? So on Tuesday, I had to wait all day. The whole day.
Oh my God. It was the whole day. We were all waiting by our phones, being like, wait, what?
I know. I called so many times too. I was like the annoying person. I was like, is there any news yet?
Oh gosh.
And finally got the wave of relief because I got the call that everything was benign. Everything was good. It's not even like a marker for the future. Like we're good. And so I was so relieved, so grateful. And we finally were able to tell the kids, like, you know, everything is good. Like, you know, cause I kind of gave them little pieces, but yeah, I just didn't want to like worry them, you know? So
yeah, of course.
And I was like, Mommy got great results back. We're all good.
Oh my gosh, Sarah, what was the first thing you did when you got that phone call? Like, were you with Eric? Were you on your own?
I was with him and we hugged each other, but we were like, we kind of like found out through a message from the hospital that was like, sent the results, but the results were confusing. So like I saw the results, but I needed the doctor to like tell me this is fine, because it was like, there's a lot of words that I was like, wait, what? Like, you know, I was like searching for it to say like, take a deep breath, you're good. It did say that. It's like this lymph node, blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? It's just like, wait,
yes,
what?
Yes.
And so I just was like, we were both kind of like, I think it's good. And he's like, I think it's good. So then finally my doctor texted and said, thank God, everything is fine. Totally benign. She's good. You know,
yeah.
And so So then we just like hugged each other. Eric could like, he was just like huge exhale. I mean, the poor thing, I think he knows more about breast cancer than anybody. He like did all these listened to podcasts. He'd like done all this research. I didn't want to know anything and he knew everything. Yeah. It was just like, you know, just went down the rabbit hole of trying to understand it all and yeah, what we would be faced with. So anyway, I have great news today. So,
wow, Sarah, I think it was such a roller coaster. And as you were talking about that, I remember reaching you as soon as you got that news and you were like, whoa, this thing happened. Mm. And they took me into this little room. And I remember feeling in my body when I read that from you, I remember feeling actually your experience of when you had your pregnancy loss, and it was that same kind of bad news. And it was that like everything mm-hmm. just sort of froze. And I said to you, you were like, I really feel like shaky. And I was like, I wonder if the trauma from your pregnancy loss is sort of being triggered and your body's remembering those same feelings, because that's probably the last time you've had any sort of comparable feeling to this. And that was such horrible, hard news. And then here you were on your own in a room getting this news. I mean, I think that's so hard to navigate. And I'm sure that physically manifested itself in shaking and feeling out of your body.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, you did write me that, and I was thinking like, yeah, I think it immediately brings up like, you know, stories from my friend Megan, who told me about her experience when she found out, you know, she had this like thing that they needed to biopsy. And so, you know, I'm just remembering, I think at that moment, you just like remember all the stories. It's like, you know, my dad like talked about stuff that he like went into a room and a doctor was like, oh, well, we have this for you, you know, and mm-hmm. I just was sitting there like, I felt like it felt like a scene in a movie. I was having like an out of body experience. And I had the same feeling when Dr. Goldberg was telling me, so the baby didn't make it. And I was like, what? My ears were ringing. He was like, you're not going to hear anything that I say right now. And I was like, whatever, I can hear everything that you're saying. You know, I'm like combative with him about it. Like, no, I can hear, I'm fine. And he's like, it's okay. And later I was like, I don't remember anything I said, except that yes, I told him I wouldn't remember it all.
You're in shock.
And I don't know. It's just like, I think it's a great reminder to just like be proactive about your health and, you know, staying on top of it. And also, you know, that if you can hold on to those like beautiful moments when you're sort of just staring off and going like, wow, look at my kids and look at my life and my family and look at that, the way that the sun shines through the windows and onto the floor and how it brings me so much joy. And, you know, those things are, there's nothing, you know, I don't know. It's just like, it really is powerful to have those moments. And so it was a lot. It was a lot. Oh my gosh. And by the way, that is what I was talking about with that, you know, my dance instructor at my kid's school. When I walked into the room and all the moms were walking around, he was like, you're here. This is what I was talking about in our last solo episode. He was like, I see you, you're here, but mentally you're like somewhere else. And I was like, yeah. And that's because I had just gotten that news. And so,
yeah.
And then I had to have the biopsy. So I was just like, yeah, I'm definitely not.
I am somewhere else
right now, for sure. This is a shock. I'm in shock.
As this was happening, I was staying at Frankie's house sort of during a lot of this. And I was consoling Frankie, who was in tears because she had a friend who didn't have the positive results, and her friend has like stage 4 cancer, breast cancer. Ugh. And was jogging and felt pain in her breast. And she's a mother. She's got a little 3-year-old daughter. And she's already started having those conversations with Frankie about like, I so hope my man meets like the woman who's going to raise my child. And we were talking about it and just crying as you were telling that story. I was thinking about just the hundreds of women who have a story like that. But then the call is, I'm so sorry. This is what we're looking at. And, you know, you went out there and you were so generous to walk out of that biopsy with a big smile on your face, looking around at this room full of women who are waiting to go and have their experience. And they're all feeling the same way. And maybe a handful of them got really terrible news, but you were so generous in that moment to be like, it's all good. Like, that was totally fine. And you held it together to fall apart until after you're away from them. And I just think that that's such a testament to who you are and your spirit. And you're such a beautiful person. And even though I knew so deep down inside of me that it was going to be positive feelings, I also got wobbly about it. I also thought about, all right, what does this look like? How do we support if there is something that comes back? You know, as friends, you just go into that like warrior-like mentality, right? This is how we'll handle it. We can handle everything. And so we all got really lucky, and we also recognize that there are so many other people out there and that they didn't get the happy ending to their story. So I think it's so impactful, Sarah, that you were willing and to share this in such a vulnerable and open way, because I'm sure it's going to provide comfort for other people going through scary situations. And I just appreciate you and I love you, and I'm so happy that we're all good.
All good. I know.
All me good.
Too. I'm so, so, so grateful. it was very, very, very grateful. And, you know, it's nice to like, to now be on the other side of it and to be able to go like, okay, like that was a lot, but we're okay. And thank you for everything that you said, and I so appreciate the support. Like, it's really nice to have your community and your friends and loved ones that, you know, are there and ready to like jump in and help you navigate it. 'Cause it's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah.
The last time that we were on, you were not in Australia. So now we got to tell everybody that you're in Australia.
Yeah. So I'm in Australia. I'm in Australia now. Now I can actually talk about it because we're finally not on strike. SAG came to an agreement. So we're not on strike, which is great. Well done to our negotiating committee. I'm in Australia. I'm shooting a really amazing TV show right now that I fully manifested. I think I talked about this earlier on the podcast. I held a manifesting night for a bunch of girlfriends earlier this year. And one of the things that we did as a part of the process, so we started with, you know, we talked about our self-limiting beliefs, and then we like wrote them all down, and then we burnt them in my fire pit. And then we all started cutting out pictures. And as we were putting the photos on our manifest board, we were saying like, I am my most abundant self. I am healthy. My mind is clear. I'm meditating every day. I'm in a great health and wellness routine, whatever it is. As we were cutting out the pictures, we would all say that out loud. So it was a really cool, fun night. And then at the end, we do a share. So we share our poster as though it's already happened. So we would point to various pictures, and I had my friend Bruna Papandrea on mine. She was one of the people that I had, as well as a few other directors, which I told Sarah earlier, there's something circling, which even if it doesn't go my way, I'm like, oh my God, that person was on my manifest board. Anyway, so I had put Bruna on there because I had such an amazing experience working with Bruna. on Warm Bodies. And I'd seen a lot of her stuff. She did Big Little Lies and Nine Perfect Strangers. And I'd seen a lot of her stuff. And I was like, I really want to work with Bruins again. And I happened to bump into her at this dinner. And I was like, right, this is it. We're totally going to, there's something that's going to come up anyway. So there was, in my share, I said, I'm working on this amazing show with Bruna and I'm so excited. And it's like perfect, Nine Perfect Strangers. It's a bit like, you know, Big Little Lies. Anyway, so I ended up getting a text from Bruna like 3 weeks after I did this evening. She's like, I've got a script for you. And I was like, oh, do you? And then she sent me the script. It was this movie called Audition. And it wasn't the show that I had sort of called in. I wanted this like big show similar to Big Little Lies. And I was like, okay, this is a smaller movie. And I remember at the time my American team's like, it's an Australian smaller movie. Is anyone going to see it? Like, should we try and get a big US show? And I was like, no, you know what? I really want to work with Bruna. And I love the script was amazing. Sort of about this woman navigating romance and also mental health issues at the same time. And I was like, I really believe in this. This is such a special project. So I ended up flying to Australia. I was actually flying there already to do The Fall Guy, which is that movie that I've talked about on the podcast. And the trailer with Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt just came out. You can see me. It's sort of blink and you'll miss it, but I'm the one with the sword attacking him. And you can sort of see me in the background of one of the other clips in the trailer if you guys want to go check it out.
Oh,
comes
my God.
Out March the 1st. Anyway, so I end up meeting the director on Audition, loved her. We had such a great meeting, actually right around the corner from where I'm staying, like two streets away I met her. And every time I walked past with the kids, I was like, that's where I met Marcel. And I ended up shooting this movie, Audition, had the most liberating experience. It was amazing. And it was such a good reminder to follow that gut. We talked about that, you know, on the previous episode, like letting your feeling state lead you. And that's what I did with Audition. I was like, I'm going to do this. And I also know it's going to crack open other opportunities. So while I was shooting Audition, Jody, who is Bruna's producing partner, was like, oh, we have an amazing role for you in this TV thing. And at the time I was like, what could it be? Is it the sequel to Nine Perfect Strangers? And in my head I was like, oh, I think it's got something to do with Nine Perfect Strangers or Leanne Moriarty, the author of that. And I was like, oh, I just assumed it has something to do with the sequel. And so I'm talking to my team and I'm like, I think maybe it could be the sequel of Nine Perfect Strangers. I'm not sure. And then I sort of didn't hear anything. And then we entered into a strike and then I get an email from Jody being like, okay, I'm sending you a script. And it wasn't Nine Perfect Strangers. It was this other script called The Last Anniversary, which is based on the book by the same author of Big Little Lies and Nine Perfect Strangers, Leanne Moriarty, exactly what I called in. I actually screamed. It came into my email. I was like, if I need any, like, any confidence that
any validation
that this work is powerful, it really is. It truly is. And it was funny. It's like we talk about how the universe sometimes it'll seem like something's going one way and then there'll be a test and it looks like it's all falling apart and going away altogether. And you're like, wait, what? And then it ends up still coming through right in the final hour. Well, that happened in this experience. You know, it seems like I was going to do it. And then, you know, I have my US team who likes to weigh in on things. And so then it was like, maybe I'm not going to do this. And I was in my heart of hearts, I just knew this is my show. I'm meant to be doing this. All the people that I've been talking about are involved in this. Nicole Kidman's company is producing it. I was like, this is my show. I'm supposed to play Sophie. I love the book. I love the author. It's shooting in Sydney. I've been talking about wanting to work in Sydney over the summer. We love North Bondi, which is where we're staying. And I ended up just going with my gut and I was like, this is it. I'm doing this show. And so that's why I'm here in Australia. I start shooting on Monday. And it feels crazy. It's just another reminder to keep leaning into this part of myself. That's the feeling, following the feeling, following yes. the gut, the intuition, and also having the courage to ask the universe for the things that you want and not feel guilty or not. And, you know, my husband's That's always true. Like, you always have a but on the end of career stuff. You're always like, I want this thing, but
I do too.
I'm not sure I'm worthy.
But
and Mark's like,
it could be this.
Yes, it could be this. I'm yeah. happy to take just a smaller role. Or Mark's like, why is it the only area in your life that you have the but? Like, liberate yourself yeah. from that. Like, just lean into it. And as Sarah says, like, why not you? Why not you? So yes. here I am. Yes. That's why I'm in Australia. I'm working with the best people. Oh my gosh. And there are three vegans on set, which is a rare occurrence. We've all been vibing
Perfect.
Out.
Perfect.
It's so good. I'm like, oh my God, I got my vegan homies. So we've been checking out all the local restaurants. Kids are really happy here. My husband is so like Byron Bay and North Bondi. They are his happy places. So he's been walking to F45, which is where he is at the moment. It's such a wellness community. You walk to the beach. It's like, it's just yes. such a vibe here that we've been all really so happy.
So happy.
And yeah, so that's where we are. And that's you know, a whole bunch of gratitude, really.
That actually makes me think I put something out on our Instagram that was like, you know, because everybody was asking about the book that we're reading. And so yeah. I wrote something that was like, oh, should we start like a Daisy book club?
Yes.
And because everyone's writing us back, by the way. So like Teresa's been in flight and at work. So she doesn't know that you guys have been DMing us this week. But mm-hmm. Everyone has been DMing us and saying that they want to know the book. Also, they want more spiritual talk. They want more of this.
God.
Love it
yes.
so much.
We love it.
We only had one person who said psychic stuff is for the devil. And I was like, well, all right.
It was my mom.
Yeah, it was your mom.
That was my mom.
But I'm going to hold up. If you guys are watching, this is the book. I'm holding it here.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. I only just started it, so I actually don't know how far along Teresa is. But Teresa and I actually have plans of doing something called a Daisy Dream Circle with you guys. And so maybe we start that first one in the new year. And one of the things we could focus on is the book and manifestation yep. and all the stuff that we've been talking about. So we're going to read this if you guys want to read it too.
Yes. If you want to read alongside us, which is so funny because actually a lot of Sarah and I's friends have just purchased this book as well. My friend Claire. And I was like, oh my God, Claire, I'm reading the best book. And she's like such a like dreamy sort of witchy gal. And I was like, you need to do this because it's about developing your skills.
Yes.
And then our friend Cassandra, yes. Cass, she works with us at the Mother Days. And she listens to our podcasts as we're editing them. And she was like, oh my God, what's the book? And we sent it to Cassandra and she's picked it up. So it's called Psychic Witch, A Metaphysical Guide to Meditation, Magic and Manifestation by Matt Oren. And it's, I read a bunch of reviews. And as I said last time, the word witch throws me. I think it's just like deeply ingrained in my being that is a negative thing. So I was at first like, oh, I can't get this book. But I was also that way about tarot cards when I first got them. I was like, I can't have these in my house. And I used to hide them from my mom. But now I'm like, all right, mom. Yes, it may be called witch, but it's not black magic. It's not dark. It's like we're talking about like meditation. We're talking about opening ourselves up to different senses and feelings and it's energy and it's light. I see all of this as light. And so that's the book that we've been reading. In fact, I haven't been reading it. I've been listening to the audiobook. And the author talks
about
how
–
Oh, have you? So maybe that's better because I've been listening to the voice and it's so soothing. And we'll start going through the practices of how to develop yourself and open yourself up a bit more. And I fall asleep. And he actually says, if you're falling asleep, it's actually your body's like almost like a defense mechanism. Like I'm just going to fall asleep rather than dive deeper into the work. But it's really interesting. And he's like, oh, you might fall asleep for the first 6 months trying to do the practices. And I was like, that keeps happening to me. Why? And I remember when I was at Moby's house, back in the day, remember when I used to go to Moby? He used to live in Beechwood Canyon.
Yeah.
Around the corner from where Mark and I were living. And he had this castle and he had this dungeon, basically this old dungeon in the castle. And it sounds really wild, but basically he'd invite a bunch of us over and we'd do sensory deprivation meditation. So we'd go into this, his dungeon. Oh my God, this sounds so funny. God. I can just see this as a heading already. But we'd go into the dungeon and he would light a candle and we would all be sitting around there. There'd probably be like 30 of us. And then they'd shut the door and there's no source of light. And then he'd blow out the candle and we'd all just sit and meditate in complete darkness. And that was really scary. That was leaning into the discomfort for me because I don't like the dark. And it was so dark. Like you could not, I've never been in something that's so black before. And you'd sort of start kind of going further into the darkness and people would be oming and you would, the whole idea was that you would come to a natural end. Everyone would be oming. And at some point, the collective energy of the group would decide to be done with it. But almost every time I would start doing the work, it would feel amazing. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm getting so like in tune with my body and my senses. And it just feels so high vibes. And then I fall asleep. And then I'm literally asleep on the floor.
Oh my gosh.
I would curl up on the floor and I would fall asleep. And me and one of my other friends, we would always sleep almost the whole way through. And I'd get kind of woken up at the end of it as the collective group was finishing. But it's interesting that he talks about why some people fall asleep. And I've done it in yoga before. Yeah. So I'm excited to get to the point where I'm not falling asleep and I'm actually taking part in these practices.
Oh my God. I love it so much. I only just started, but I remembered you telling me about like in meditation that you sort of like close your eyes and you're like following the color that you see. Mm-hmm. And then there would be like this white light. And I remember thinking like, oh, that's so cool. I'm going to try that. And like, a few times I have like tried to close my eyes in meditation and like I wasn't seeing anything, but I used to see color all the time. So I was like, wait, what's happening? And I'm like, I must be trying too hard or something. But then I remembered the other night as I was laying down in bed to go to sleep, this like white light flashed across my eyes. And I was like, oh, wait, this happens to me a lot where this. And maybe somebody out there, because I know that we have a few very spiritual women that follow our podcast. So maybe you guys can tell us
when
we can
newbies.
Have you on. we're newbies. But the white light, when I try to go to sleep sometimes, it like flashes so bright across my eyes that I think that there's like somebody with a flashlight in the room. And so I'll always like startle my eyes open and look around. And then I'm like, that's so weird. Like, where did the light come from? And then I'll close my eyes again. And then I'll start to see like more like brightness from that happening. And so that I'm like, bizarre. And I never thought about it until you mentioned that. And now I'm like, oh, weird. And then it happened again the other day, where I was sort of following the light. I was like, kind of like, and I was like, wait, I feel like I see a figure behind my eye. Like I was seeing something and I was trying to figure out what it was. And anyway, it was so bizarre, but I only would never have known anything about that until you told me that. So look, some of you guys are going to be like, this is so silly.
I know. But you know what? There's also a handful of people who are like, this is really interesting. I have to say, I feel like you're so attuned You are so tapped in. You really are. Like, you're naturally tapped in. Yeah, I love it. Look, this is our little thing that we're doing right now that we're interested in developing. And I just gave all those examples as well. Like, I just gave all those examples of even if it's developing your intuition, like how it serves you in your life.
I know.
I think it's so quick to be like, oh, that's not for me. That feels weird. Like, how do you know it's not for you? How do you know, like, following that gut? Like, I feel like that's for everyone. It's just that feeling state. Yeah, your instinct.
Yes, it's the thing I was talking about on our last solo episode where I was like, oh, I thought of that restaurant and knew that my friend was going to be there. Was it like, oh, maybe she'll be there because she's there sometimes, but like I picture her face like flashed across my eyes and I was like, oh, she's gonna be there. That's so weird. If she is there, then that's like I actually knew that. So strange. I love all that stuff so much. Okay, daisies. So if you want to follow along, get the book, we'll talk about it. And then maybe what we'll do is have one of our little dream circles in January and we'll actually like let you guys all know how we're gonna do it. But
yes.
We'll talk about the book and we'll have somebody there and we can go through the whole thing. So that'll be really fun. Daisy Book Club.
Yes.
Okay. So thank you all so much. This episode is so special because just like centering ourselves back into that place of gratitude. It's the season of gratitude. We're getting into the holidays and all those things. We're grateful for like our friends and our family. We always are, right? Like sitting here thinking about the things that are so special, even if it's like, you know, I'm grateful that I got up today and then I'm able to like take a deep breath and look at the sunshine and like all those things. And it really puts you into like a positive place.
Yeah.
Okay, Daisy. So the season of gratitude. We love you, Daisies. We'll see you on the next episode. And you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you're in America, happy Thanksgiving. We are so grateful for all of you and all of our friends and each other. And we love you, Daisies. And goodbye.
Love you. Bye.